There are three revelations of faith, three branches of faith. First, the gift of faith, and that's what the Lord said in Mark when he said to us, have the faith of God, have God's faith. We saw the gift of faith in operation in the life of Christ Jesus when he cursed the fig tree, when he cast out the lunatic demon, the demon out of the little boy in Matthew 17, when he calmed the storm, when he walked on the water, and Peter later obeyed Christ and walked on the water, all that was the gift of faith in operation. The miraculous is connected to the gift of faith. And I covered that last night. Tonight, I want to go from here and talk about the fruit of faith. And I want you all to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 and 23, because this gift of faith that we discussed earlier is so important. And just as important is the fruit of faith. I told you last night that the gift of faith could be compared to a gift on a Christmas tree, while the fruit of faith could be compared to an apple on an apple tree. A Christmas tree bears gifts. An apple tree bears fruit. The gift on the Christmas tree is not a part of the tree, but the apple on an apple tree is. One more thing I must say to you before we go on. A gift does not reveal the tree, the fruit does. The gift of faith would be no different than receiving a gift from the Christmas tree. God gives it to you. It's a gift. And that's always connected to the supernatural power of God. But the fruit of faith is a fruit. And that reveals the character of the tree. Now, the Word of God declares in Galatians 5, 22, 23, please, if you will, Jim.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
The fruit of faith is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It is an expression of your character. And the fruit of faith is the result of abiding in Christ Jesus, John 15, 5. Clearly, the Word of God states, if you abide in Christ, you'll bear fruit. You'll bear love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, meekness. You'll also bear faith. Faith is a fruit. And like I said to you, the fruit of faith is that childlike trust. Psalm 125, verse 1, those that trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. It is that steadfast trust. The fruit of faith is mentioned in Psalm 37, verse 5. If you will, please, Jim. Psalm 37, verse 5. And Psalm 56, verse 3, there we see the fruit of faith. David wrote about the fruit of faith in Psalm 37, verse 5. If you will, Jim, please, and then I will read Psalm 56, 3. Go ahead, Jim. Psalm 37, verse 5.
Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
That's the fruit of faith. Trust in the Lord. And then Psalm 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. The fruit of faith. The fruit of faith, Paul the Apostle wrote about it in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where the scripture says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That is the fruit of faith. Big difference between the gift and the fruit. And now, in just a little bit, I'll talk about the measure of faith. Remember, there are three branches to faith: the gift of faith, fruit of faith, measure of faith. Now, this fruit of faith becomes reality as you abide in Christ Jesus. God the Father cultivates the tree, cultivates your life. He prunes it, he purges it, and then you'll see the fruit. And the fruit requires time and skill. The gift comes suddenly. When the work is done, the gift is lifted. It comes for a reason and a season. But the fruit is cultivated. The fruit of faith is the fruit of Jesus. The gift of faith is the gift of God, but the fruit of faith is the fruit of Christ. Now, we need both. I want to move on now to the measure of faith. The measure of faith is mentioned in Habakkuk 2, verse 4, the just shall live by faith. Now, this is the faith most people are acquainted with. Very few know about the gift of faith. Unless the power of God is flowing through that individual, he knows very little about the gift of faith. We know the fruit of faith much more than the gift, most of us, because as we abide in Christ, as his presence becomes real, as his presence becomes intimate, the fruit of faith becomes reality and we trust him completely. The measure of faith most of us are acquainted with, we just need to understand a few things about it so we can be strong in the faith. And especially in this day and age, we must know this type of faith daily. The gift of faith comes for the supernatural. It comes for a season and a reason, and then when God is done with it, it's done. The fruit of faith comes as we abide in Christ Jesus and his presence is real to us. And we must have that. Now, the measure of faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. The scripture says these words, and I want to begin to help you understand this most remarkable revelation of faith. Are you ready? If you are, say yes. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now what happens is this. When you were born again, you were born again because you heard the gospel. When you heard the gospel, that seed we call the measure of faith entered your spirit. That's what Paul talks about when he wrote in Romans 1:16 and said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This measure of faith is the result of the gospel being preached. This measure of faith comes at the moment of salvation. And this measure of faith grows from faith to faith. It's with you continually. It's with you daily. Now, this measure of faith begins at salvation. And it grows as we continue in salvation until perfection in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Word of God says, the just shall live. When the Bible says live, living includes everything you do. Living covers your life. Living involves every activity. Therefore, this faith, this measure of faith, must be exercised daily, continually, in every area of life. Say with me, the just shall live. Now, if the just shall live, that means living every day, every moment. That means the measure of faith is needed in your life every moment of the day in all your activities as a Christian, in all your walk as a Christian. This faith has to be exercised. Because without its growth, sin enters in. Ah, now, I'm getting to something very important. How many want to be free from sin? Put your hands up high. How many want to have power over sin? Put your hands up high. I'm going to give you the key. You can have the gift of faith and live in sin. The fruit of faith comes as you abide in Christ Jesus, but that will demand that you abide 24 hours a day in prayer, in fellowship, in intimacy. But God has given to us another revelation of faith that we are required to have for righteous living. That we are required to have to be free from sin. And this is what Paul means when he says in Romans 14. Write it down, please. Romans 14, verse 23. He says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, when you lack this growing, developing faith in your life, sin will enter in. We must develop this faith that came at salvation. We must grow that faith. And faith, this measure of faith, comes by hearing the Word of God daily and continually, continually, and continually, and continually, until that day we reach perfection and maturity in Christ. If you do not receive the Word of God daily, you harm the measure of faith in your life. You harm this precious seed that God places in your heart. Your life, your Christian life, hungers for this faith. Your Christian life hungers for this word of faith. Without it, you'd wither away as a Christian. This is developing faith, and this is the faith that pleases God. The measure of faith is mentioned in Hebrews 11:6, for without faith it is impossible to please Him. Now, people sometimes mix the three, and we cannot mix the three. May I please say something to you? The gift of faith is the faith of God. The fruit of faith is the faith of Christ. The measure of faith is your faith. And your faith, even though given by God, you develop it. You grow it. When I'm under the anointing, the gift of faith is given to me by God Almighty. I have nothing to do with it except receive it and operate under it. When I'm in the presence of the Lord in prayer, the fruit of faith is fully and completely in operation. I have nothing to do with it except enjoy the benefit. When I'm away from Christ's presence, when I'm not aware of His presence, when I'm down in the valley and fighting demons, it's the measure of faith that keeps me alive. Did you hear what I said? Under the anointing, I need the gift. In my private room, I need the fruit. In the world and the battlefield, I need the measure. Did you get what I just gave you? We need all three. I can get up on the platform and the gift of faith comes alive in me. I can be in my prayer closet and the fruit of faith is alive. But it's not mine. I have nothing to do with it. I just enjoy the benefit. It's the fruit of Christ. It's His faith. It's His fruit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, that faith is the fruit of the Spirit, not my fruit, His fruit. All I do, I simply allow the fruit out of my life. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. All I've done is connect my branch to His vine. And the fruit is His fruit, not mine. The fruit comes from the vine, not the branch. That faith belongs to Christ. It's His faith. But the measure of faith He imparts in my soul at salvation and then says, you work it. You develop it. I simply give it to you and you're responsible what happens to it. You can keep it, grow it, or you can ignore it and lose it, and I'll judge you if you do. How many understand? Put your hands way up high. The measure of faith is my responsibility and yours. So there is no reward for the gift of faith. Because the gift of faith, that's God's work, and He's using you. But you didn't do a thing about getting that faith except surrender to the anointing. And the fruit of faith belongs to Christ. There's no price you pay except yield to His presence. But the measure of faith is with you every single day. The measure of faith is with you when you wake up and when you sleep. The measure of faith is with you every moment of your day. And God says it is your job to work it. It is your job to develop it. That's why every morning I get up and I read the Word, because the Word of God imparts strength to that faith that's already in my soul and builds it and builds it and grows it and grows it and grows it and strengthens me in Christ and keeps righteousness in my life. But if that faith is lacking in my soul, sin will find a way to get in. Now this faith comes by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing, and by hearing the Word of God. When I'm in my car, I listen to Catherine Kuhlman teaching on CDs. I listen to the Bible on CD. Because I believe what I'm preaching. I like to listen to rich Bible teaching in my car. Because I believe faith comes by hearing. In the morning when I wake up, I open the Bible and I begin to read the Word. Faith comes by reading also. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us that faith comes by reading. Romans tells us it comes by hearing. Proverbs tells us it comes by reading. In fact, you all should know Romans 10:17. I want you all now to turn to it, and I want you all to read out loud this very familiar portion of Scripture. Romans 10, verse 17. I want you all to read clear and loud. So then, come on, read with me. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. All right. Now say after me, the gift of faith, God gives it. The fruit of faith, God cultivates it. The measure of faith, I grow it. Yeah, it's your job to grow, develop that faith. Now, this is the faith that comes. This is the faith that comes. It comes. It comes all the time. It's coming all the time as you hear the word of God. It's coming right now while I'm preaching. Now this blessed measure of faith is spoken of in Proverbs chapter 4. Come on, let's all go to Proverbs chapter 4. And I want you to see the tremendous truth concerning this as we look at Proverbs 4 verse 20 through 22. Because this is how it comes. Say after me, faith comes. The measure of faith comes. Now, I'm going to show you how it comes. Proverbs chapter 4 tells us how it comes. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. They are life unto those that find them, health to all their flesh. Number one, faith comes as you give the word your undivided attention. That's what the word attend means. My son, attend to my word. Attend means give the word of God undivided attention. Number two, incline thine ear. Means you must be teachable. Those who incline their ear want to learn. Number three, let them not depart from thine eyes. Stay focused on the word. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Meditate on the word. I'm just giving you the four keys that cause the word to come. Number one, give the word of God undivided attention. Number two, be teachable as you hear. Number three, stay focused upon the word. And number four, meditate upon the word. These are the four things I practice every morning. Every morning. God is my witness. My son Joshua comes in the morning. If he sees me with my open Bible, he goes zoop, right back. Because they know I don't want to be disturbed. But I'm focused. I can focus very easily. I can get glued to what I'm doing. My Jesse came in one day. Dad, and I'm really focused. Dad, Pastor Benny, yeah. She gets my attention by calling me Pastor Benny. One day she came in, she said, Earth to Dad, because I was gone. I have trained myself to get focused. I can get so focused, you will never get me away. Train yourself to do that. It can save your life. Don't let the phone bother you. Shut your cell phone off. don't take your cell phone into your prayer room. The devil will use it, I promise you. Don't give the devil a chance. Every morning, spend time with God. It'll save your life. It'll save your day. It'll put a song in your heart. You'll stay strong all day long at work. With all the devils around you, you'll be the saint walking around. And your light will shine among men. And the people said, amen. Now, as you follow these four keys I gave you, faith will come. Now, when faith comes, when the measure of faith comes, this process, oh, this is so marvelous. This process, as it begins, something will happen in the process. I can sit in the morning, Jim, and I open my Bible, and I'll start reading the scriptures, and if I notice it's not getting through, if my mind is just too dull, too weak, too whatever, I'll stop and I'll pray. I'll spend a little time in prayer first, because prayer will fertilize the heart. Prayer brings moisture back to the grounds of your heart. And then I'll get back in the scriptures. And if I'm still not there, I'll close the Bible and I'll pray a little more. And I'll praise the Lord, and I'll begin to just get the rust out of my soul. How many understand what I just said? You just get yourself back in the flow. Thank you, Master. Glory, honor, dominion, praise, and glory be to you, wonderful Father, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Glory, honor, and thanksgiving, and power belongs to you, precious Jesus, my Redeemer. Blessings and glory and honor and dominion be to you, Holy Spirit, giver of life and grace. And I'll just start going like this. Half an hour later, you can feel the moisture of God's presence. Then I'll get back in the Word. And when I get back in the Word now, I notice something happens. The dead letter becomes alive. From the time my eyes pick up the Word to the time it enters my heart, something happens that you and I aren't aware of. There is a definite supernatural impartation called Rhema. The logos of the Word becomes Rhema by the Spirit. And that happens through prayer. So faith comes. Say faith comes. Amen. Say it again. Amen. Now watch me. Faith comes when you hear the word from the lips of a man of God or a tape or something, and now the faith of God begins to come. It literally comes. The gift of faith that doesn't come. The gift of faith explodes in you. The fruit of faith doesn't come. The fruit of faith penetrates you. But faith comes. Faith is a process. Faith drips. When I say faith here, I mean the measure of faith. The measure of faith comes spoon by spoon, measure by measure, faith upon faith upon faith upon faith upon faith upon faith. It is carried through hearing by 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 hearing. This measure of faith comes line upon line, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And it comes, and in the process of coming, it turns itself into Rhema by the Spirit. Because if I get logos, it will kill me. But if logos becomes Rhema through prayer, it'll quicken me. How many just heard what I said? Put your hands way up high. The process is what the Bible means by comes. Faith comes, faith comes, faith comes. From the spoken word to the written word, it becomes the imparted word. When it's the imparted word, now it's Rhema. That's why the scripture says, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing. Now, the Greek word for hearing is rhema. Faith cometh by rhema. Faith cometh by hearing. That hearing, it changes in the process, and it becomes rhema. Rhema, when it imparts my soul, it already is rhema. When it's spoken, it's logos. When it's imparted, it's rhema, because hearing, the minute I hear it, as you hear it, it becomes rhema. Rhema takes the eternal word, logos, and injects it into your heart. Rhema takes the logos and makes it spirit. Rhema is the way the Holy Spirit brings the logos out of eternity into time and human experience. May I say that again? Rhema is the way the Holy Spirit brings the logos out of eternity into time and human experience. Rhema makes logos specific and personal. That's what it does. Now it becomes mine. So you read the scriptures and you read about Israel and so forth, but that becomes your experience suddenly in the spirit. That's called rhema. Now, I want to tell you quickly three things about this measure of faith. Are you ready? This measure of faith, number one, must be confessed. I do not confess the gift of faith. I don't confess the fruit of faith. I must confess the measure of faith. I confess the hearing, the word that I heard, the rhema. The rhema must be confessed. The gift of faith has nothing to do with confession. The fruit of faith, nothing with confession. Because one, I receive it literally exploding in my soul under the anointing. The other penetrates through my soul in the presence of God. But the third one, that comes by hearing the word of God, must be developed. And I develop this faith. And this is how. Now I'm going to get to talking about how do you develop it. You develop it, one, by confessing it. You must develop that faith. It develops through confession. It develops as you work it into action. And it develops as it's tested through tribulation. So the measure of faith must be developed. This faith that comes by hearing must be developed. This faith that becomes rhema in the process of the spoken word and the imparted word must be developed. It is developed by confession. It's developed as we work it into action, activate it. You heard people say, turn your faith loose. And three, it's developed through trials. That's the part nobody likes, but believe me, trials develop your faith. Now, the Bible says faith must be confessed. Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed, therefore have I spoken. You must confess the word you believe. And it's not where you have to push yourself to do it, because as the word of God fills you, you'll speak it, because you're so full of the word, you can't help but talk it. How many understand? Say yes. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Paul the Apostle spoke about the confession of the word as a result of his heart being so full of the word when he said in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Now, once this faith, this measure of faith, begins to fill your heart, the natural thing will be, you'll speak it. You'll speak it and you won't be able to help it, but you're going to speak it. It will become the language of your walk. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, the Bible declares, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It all begins with confession. The word of God comes to you and you confess it even at salvation. Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:14 and Hebrews 3 verse 1 that Christ Jesus is the high priest of our profession, confession. Christianity is called a confession. But you see, the problem is we have lost the balance in this teaching because we've taken the Holy Spirit out of it. And God moved upon the face of the waters and God said, the Spirit moved and God said, you cannot confess till the Holy Ghost moves. And it's the Holy Spirit that takes the Logos word, makes it into life, Rhema word into your being. And then when the Spirit of God joins himself to the written word of God and the spoken word of God, at that moment life gets into your soul. And when life gets into your soul, believe me, you'll speak it. Now, we confess the word. We refuse to be swayed by our senses and feelings. We submit to the word of God. That's what Hebrews 10, 21 through 24 tells us. In fact, the Bible says in Acts 20 and 32, the word of God will build you and give you, build you, give you, build you, give you. That is a developing blessed faith we call the measure of faith. And it is that confession which keeps you safe. Psalm 17 verse 4, the Bible says that the spoken word of God keeps demons away. Now, please listen to what I'm saying to you here. Satan cannot read your mind. He can only hear your words. Psalm 17, 4, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Wow. God's word keeps you from walking into the path of Satan. In prayer, because the word of God has so filled your heart, in prayer, the word of God comes out of you, and that's all that the invisible world will hear you talk about. The devil cannot read your mind, remember that. Now, you must also work your faith. Put your faith into action. Faith without works is dead, James 2:26 says. The scripture says that Abraham had to work his faith. God led Abraham step by step. He obeyed God. He began to mature. 40 years he walked with God and had to grow in faith. Grow in faith. Grow in faith. It was a 40-year process. From the time God called Abram to the time he offered Isaac, it was 40 years. It was a process of 40 years of growth. And his faith grew and grew and grew and grew and grew till the day, finally, his faith reached the place of perfection when he offered up Isaac. And James talks about this in James 2, 21-22. Please turn to it. Please turn to James 2, 21-22. That clearly states his faith was perfected at the moment God said, offer me Isaac. God would not have said, offer me Isaac when his faith was still weak. He comes out of Ur and Aran in Genesis 12. 40 years later, Genesis 22, God says, offer up Isaac. 40-year span goes by before God ever trusts him to obey him like that. His faith had to grow. Jim, would you read for me James 2, 21-22, please? Verse 21-22, and watch how it is connected to the offering of Isaac.
Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought his works, and by works was faith made perfect?
Aha! His faith was perfected by obedience. His faith had to be worked. His faith had to be developed 40 long years until it was perfected. And so perfect became his faith that when God said, offered me Isaac, not one argument came out of him. And Paul the Apostle uses the same thing in Romans chapter 4, verse 9 through 13, when he wrote about the same exact thing James 2 talks about, how Abraham's faith was perfected. Abraham's faith had to grow. And so your faith also must grow. This faith must be tested. In the process of growth, it is tested. Remember, the gift of faith comes under the anointing and it operates. The fruit of faith comes by the presence of Christ and penetrates. The measure of faith comes by hearing the word, and there it has to grow. And it grows as you hear, and 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 you hear. Proverbs 4, remember I gave it to you earlier. Attend, incline, focus, meditate. Now the word comes. When the word comes, the word begins to grow. It grows as you confess. It grows as you work it into action. You got to work your faith. It grows as it's tested. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 2 through verse 4, these words. And here we see that faith must be tested also to grow. The Bible says, James 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Here we see God is using trials to perfect faith. The measure of faith. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7, the Bible says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Here again, faith is being tested for perfection. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 and 25, the Bible says faith will be tested. Moses understood that, for it says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt. Now, the Bible says that he suffered afflictions in verse 25. His faith was tested. And Hebrews chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So here's the key, my brother and sister. As your faith grows, as your faith develops, the greatest piece of counsel we are given, looking unto Jesus. Now lift your hands and thank him.
You've been listening to another of Pastor Benny's dynamic and life-changing teachings. Additional copies are available to you from Benny Hinn Ministries World Healing Center Church. Covenant partners of Pastor Benny supply not only daily television programs to countless millions, but help bring miracle crusades to cities around the world. For more information or to become a partner, contact Benny Hinn Ministries, World Healing Center Church, Post Office Box 16-2000, Irving, Texas, 75016. Call 800-433-1900 or go online to www.bennyhinn.org. If you live outside the United States or Canada, go to www.bennyhinn.org for the address and phone number of the office nearest you.